All right. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of Nick and Garrett Get Serious About Jokes. I'm Nick.
And I'm Garrett.
And we are back at you this week talking about, TV shows, books, films that have influenced us, or at least pushed us towards comedy, and maybe even talking about some of the works that we work into our own stand-up work. So let's go ahead and jump into it, man. What are some TV shows that kind of, looking back on it, influenced your decision to be a comic? What do you?
When I was younger, I wasn't really exposed to like a lot of comedy, and certainly not any movies about comedy. But I did watch a lot of like TV shows, and most shows that are like sitcoms or whatever.
Yeah.
And I always enjoyed those, and I always, it was something that influenced me because I always wanted to like be able to do that, to make people laugh or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one thing. Just a lot of just regular shows, like TV shows you see. I can't really think of anything in particular. For me, the thing that pushed me towards wanting to do comedy mostly was like just comedy itself, like specials and stuff.
Yeah.
Usually just, people getting up and having like an hour or whatever. It's a little bit like, looking back, I'm sure like I would, if I watch this again, I would think it is really dumb. But I remember when I was young, I watched like this comedy special, and it was supposed to be like, it was like family friendly, because I was like watching it when I was super young, and I always thought it was like great. I would rewatch it like a bunch of times. I feel like that influenced me probably more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I literally can't remember the person's name, so maybe it didn't influence me that much.
Okay. Well, I think for me, TV show wise, I always liked Seinfeld. I mean, that's my favorite show of all time, and I think the idea of him being a comic, there was something kind of cool about that lifestyle. I remember thinking that like being a comic has to be the hardest job in the world, where you just, a bunch of people gather around and then you just have to like make them laugh on demand. You understand structure and things like that,
right?
And that it's a whole production, and it's usually not just you making them laugh. There's opening comics and hosts and stuff. So I no longer think it's the hardest job in the world, but
right.
it was still impressive. And I just love the fact that was what Jerry did. And there's an episode from season one where he's at a dinner party, and a woman asks what he does, and he goes, comedian. And it was just like, yeah, that's what I do. Because I didn't know anyone who was a comedian or, mm-hmm. Like the idea of someone just being a comedian full time was just this kind of mystifying thing. So I think that show had, influenced me a lot in like a more of a subconscious way.
Yeah.
So I
think it's really interesting that you mentioned like, him saying he was a comedian, that like striking a chord with you, because I feel like something similar happened to me, where like I would watch like comedians, and I had several favorites when I was growing up, but I didn't really consider the idea that I could do comedy until I met someone who was like a local comic.
Yeah.
Because doing like, when you watch like comedy, usually like if you're not super into it, it's just like the top whatever, the person who's really successful and has got like this big special or whatever. And they do really well, obviously, because they're practiced. But it's really untouchable, especially mm-hmm. when you're a young person. And it's like, that's obviously something that I could never, ever do. But then when you meet someone that you know who's like, I do comedy in my free time.
Yeah.
And that suddenly for me was like, oh, it's like a thing that regular people can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really had an effect. It wasn't something that was immediate, but it was just like, it planted a seed, I guess, like a little idea in my head of like, well, I guess I could do that.
Yeah,
and then the more I thought about it, I was like, I think I'd like to try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think that happened, in a similar way with me. It's like, when you see the finished product of it, I mean, it just it seems overwhelming. Like, yeah. How someone do it? Definitely. But when you recognize when you see the process of it, and you see sort of someone who may get there one day but isn't there yet,
yeah.
Or you see someone work through a bit, you know, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's so much more approachable.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a little mean, but one thing that really kind of demystifies it is seeing someone you know is hilarious do poorly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you see someone you know is just so funny and you see them bomb, it's like, oh, well, then that happens to everyone. You know, it's like it makes it more of a thing where you can improve, you know, you can sort of, I don't know, it makes it seem approachable.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, because, I mean, I've seen, I was watching a comic the other day that I had never seen bomb, and then they were kind of bombing a little bit, and I was just like, it was like, oh, okay, so everyone, I mean, yeah. You know, everyone does, but when you see people that you've never seen bomb really before, it does kind of, kind of lets you realize that we're all in it together a little right. bit more, you know.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to comedy shows, though, I think a lot of the late night shows were really influential to me. Like, I used to this was always weird to me. Like, everyone I know like loves or loved Letterman over Leno.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was like, well, me and another friend, so I guess not everyone I knew, but everyone I knew except for my friend Guy, he and I, we loved Leno. Like, we loved the joke intensive monologue, the 25 to 30, you know, jokes at the top of every show. And I always thought that was really cool, and it was really enjoyable. And I always loved late night talk shows because of the monologues, like mm-hmm. those sort of topical jokes that are one-liners. Now, they weren't really doing bits, because I mean, to string together, you know, a bit is a lot different, but I think that was influential to me too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Arsenio Hall, and I thought he was funny as well, and I think that was influential. And then Def Comedy Jam on HBO, I remember being at like family functions, and like we would all watch Def Comedy Jam, and it was, you know, I was a little kid, but like, and the, you know, the cussing wasn't an issue. Like, as a kid, you know not to say those words or not right. same around adults, so it's
right.
You know, it's not really a big deal. Like a watching it as a kid, you know, like inappropriate things often went over my head, but the funny stuff landed.
Yeah.
And looking back, I think those things influenced me as well. But yeah, it's just weird though. But I don't think I would reference, I wouldn't make a reference to any of those in my act. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when I think of making, if I make a pop culture reference, it's almost always sports related or news related or like obscure news, you know? So,
yeah.
For me, I'm
the same way. Like, for like stuff like, you know, comedy shows that I watched or anything like that, I don't really reference in my sets because I guess the way I feel about it is like that stuff is already funny.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would I talk about it when
that's a good point
when yeah. I'm trying to be funny myself? So like, I'll talk more about stuff that, you know, people know about, but maybe they're not intended to be super funny. They're just things that are in public awareness.
Yeah.
So I'll bring those things up and like try and make those things funny. But I don't even know how you would make a joke about that's referencing a show that's already like a comedy show. I'm sure there's some way, but for me my preference is to like use other stuff, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, and it's weird because I wouldn't necessarily, when I'm writing, I'm not like, oh, I got to fit in a reference to this show. It just kind of, if something's made available through circumstance and you can reference maybe not, and it's usually not a show or movie. It's usually the actor or actress that you're referencing.
Yeah.
Then it makes sense, but I don't know. I mean, I don't have any like go to people to make fun of. You know what I mean? I mean, you think it would be Trump, but I mean, this has been talked about in comedy specials and all that. Yeah. It's
constantly.
It's just you can't really do that. And there's because usually the politicians are the way to go, right? I mean, the people who sort of make the rules and are supposed to. But now it's kind of like you can't even, it's too far out there for even that.
Because it's like so many people are like upset with like the whole Trump thing. So everyone is talking about it. And I can think of like a few comedians who like have bits about Trump and I'm like, that bit is amazing.
Yeah.
But the rest of the 9 million sets that have to do with Trump are just like this again.
Yeah, because I think too, the late night shows do a pretty good job of telling the jokes, and so telling those topical news jokes.
Yeah.
So by the time a local comic gets their hands on it, it's be tough to make it work really well. Because you got to do something unexpected for the laughter to occur. And it can be tricky.
The late night shows, I feel like they should get more of a pass to talk about Trump than other comedians because it's like they have a show like, every night or every week or whatever, depending on their schedule. And it's like supposed to be about current events. Yeah. So Trump is president.
They have to, yeah.
Yeah, so they really don't have much of a choice. I saw people like criticizing like Colbert for that. It's like, I mean, there's not a lot of options.
Oh, I know, yeah. I mean, if you're a comedy writer and you have to write 30 jokes a day or whatever, or 30 jokes by lunch, and I mean, you can only mine your own life for so long before you have to start reading the papers and kind of going through those, those sort of current event things. But I do like doing, I'll Google weird news, odd news, and sometimes, like, I'll find a story that, can give me some motivation or some inspiration, and I'm like, okay, I can use this. Like, I'll read a story and I'll think, all right, there's something here. And then I'll there's a bit I'm working on now. There's a story, and I've seen the video of it, of like I guess they taught a dog in Spain how to do CPR, and so like the guy lays on the ground and the dog runs and like pushes on the chest.
Dang.
And so I'm like, I can work with this because there's I started telling a bunch of jokes about how the dog better not give me mouth to mouth, like I'll just die. If the only one who knows CPR is the dog, then that's just how I'm supposed to go. Like,
don't play God. Time.
Yeah. So I was able to come up with some stuff like that, and then it just tied into other things regarding animals. So I use it like that as motivation, like different news items, but not as much book stuff as I thought. Like, I mean, as much time as I spent just reading books, because when I was an undergrad, I thought, okay, I'm going to be, in situations where I would reference these books that I've read and kind of add some texture to a conversation or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen that often. Like, usually you read something and what you end up retaining or then using is, it's never what you would think it was. It has not helped me in stand up really. I mean, I'm maybe on some level, just the reading, the analysis, and just being exposed to ideas, makes me a sharper thinker. But it just in terms of using the information, not a lot of it.
Yeah, because I feel like unless it's like a really popular book, it's like, how are you going to reference something that's not common knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Because the joke has got to be really good if you're going to be like, this is a book called this, and you guys don't know what this book is, so I have to explain it. So this book is about this person who does this thing, and then this happens. And then you can finally tell the joke, and it's got to be like a killer.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to take that long to set it up and everything. I know Todd Barry has a joke about, there's this book about tidying up by Marie Kondo.
Mm-hmm.
She's this expert on like cleaning, and she uses the word tidying, and she has a different connotation for it. But Todd Barry has a joke about it, and it works. But I've read the book, and I'm like, man, that book is really helpful. Like, I think it's...
Yeah.
So I'm like I was, like, fine with the joke, but on another level, I was like, my feelings are kind of hurt because I don't know. I like
damn, leave my book alone.
Yeah. So it's really good. It's helped me, like, since I moved into my house, like, you know, get things cleaned up. And, yeah, it's really good.
I do think that there's a lot of benefits to that because, like, I find, like, if I don't have things somewhat cleaned up, I have trouble thinking and like concentrating. So like, yeah, I definitely agree with that book. But yeah, it is hard, you know, to make jokes about books because, you know, people probably haven't read whatever book it is. So like for me, like I will make references to certain books that I've read, but it always has, or just anything in general, like media, movies, TV shows, but it's usually got to be something that, like, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to know.
Right, yeah.
So, like, I have a bit about Harry Potter. I've got a bit. I have, like, a small joke about, like, Les Mis.
Yeah, yeah.
And because those are things that, like, everyone knows what you're talking about.
Mm, yeah.
Because everyone's, if they haven't seen the play of Les Mis, they've probably seen the movie. And people, if they haven't read the books for Harry Potter, they probably watched the movies. So, like, those are things that you can reference because, honestly, probably because they're now movies, too. And people watch movies.
Well, yeah, because I was going to mention your Harry Potter bit. And that made, yeah, because I feel like if there's a book, or in that case, that you can reference, it would have to be, like, a book series so that people have read, have multiple chances to be familiar with the characters.
Yeah.
And even with that, I think the movies help out a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the most referenced movies I just have heard, like, in open mics and even at shows. And it's not a huge percentage of jokes, but in terms of movie references, would probably be Star Wars.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, Star Wars is, I would say that's by far the number one thing. I mean, I have a Star Wars, Star Trek joke, you know, and... about seeing the new Star Wars, and I can't even remember the joke right now.
I feel like there's a lot of jokes that are about, like, hey, I don't know if you guys know this, but Luke and Leia are brother and sister.
Yeah.
It's like this groundbreaking thing. But yeah, I feel like that's definitely it because it's like such a big thing back in the day, and it's still a big thing. So it's like several generations of people are fans of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, I don't know a person who doesn't know about Star Wars, you know? Like, most people at least understand what it is, basically. Like, it's a space thing, you know?
There's
lightsabers, and it's fine. Like, most people get it, at least on the basic level, so that's something that's pretty easy to reference.
I agree, yeah. I think, I'd say the Star Wars is one, and I'm not even sure what would be number two.
What would be number two? What's something slightly less popular than Star Wars?
Yeah, right? It's hard to... I don't even know what films... Let's see. Yeah, it's hard to...
There's not really a lot of film series that go on as long as Star Wars.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's like... You know, it's always just, like, the same thing. Yeah. Like, what's a movie series that's lasted, like, for seven or more films? I'm thinking The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
I'm literally, like, what else? Like, well, James Bond, that's a big one. I don't know.
I don't know if I hear a lot of jokes, but that's definitely a series. Yeah, like, because, I mean, that's been around since the 60s as a franchise. I think I may have talked about this before, that whenever I watched the beginning of Louis, I used to, I didn't know what it was. Because, you know, the beginning is him walking to the Comedy Cellar. And I don't know. I would always have, like, a weird feeling. And I realize now that it was because, it was something that I, you know, should have been doing on some level. You know, I was doing the stand-up. And there was a feeling of dissatisfaction and, you know, anticipation of the episode, but also dissatisfaction, you know, and... occasionally, I know when I'm driving to a mic or driving to a show, I'll think of the theme song of mm-hmm. Louis' show because I kind of feel like him at that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cool way of looking at it.
Yeah, I do have both hands on the steering wheel when I'm driving, thinking of Louis, so that just in case you might have thought I was doing anything else that Louis C.K. would be doing. In a car while driving to a show.
Well, thank you for
clarifying. Yeah,
yeah, that's just setting my worries to rest.
Okay, good. I know you were nervous about it. You were like,
yeah, I had a real concerned look on my face.
Well, you grabbed your phone like you were getting ready to. Call
I was actually I was halfway out the door.
Yeah. Now, have we talked about? Crashing yet? Have we done
Crashing? The
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes show. I want to watch that. Okay, I've been meaning to watch it, but I haven't yet.
You don't have HBO.
I don't. I'll have to get it by other means, I guess.
Yeah, because that is really good. Because I was there's local comics in Nashville who have a podcast called Which Is Better. Sean Parrott, Gary Fletcher, and they have this, they do like a comparison thing in their pod. But I remember thinking that like an episode that I would really want to hear would be a Which Is Better pod for Marvelous Ms. Maisel and versus Crashing as a show about stand up because. Crashing, it's him, you know, he's like being an open micer and finally get on stage at the end of the night and it's just like him and like his friends who are comics and I don't know. So
it looks really good and I feel like another thing they have in common beyond just being about like actual comedy, at like sort of like a starting level, I guess, or like a local level maybe. Is like both of the main characters are like kind of like, I haven't seen the show, but if it's based on Pete Holmes and like as a person, right? Supposed to like, he's like pretty like a positive guy, right?
Yeah.
And he does like sort of clean material and stuff. And then, Maisel and the Marvelous Maisel is like super like positive and like, you know, doesn't have the same material, but the way her character is like super like into like, oh, I want to do this. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
In an industry that's characterized by like cynical assholes.
Right.
Which I guess, I think that's like sort of, you know, they touched on that in Crashing from what I've seen where like, he's like positive and people are just like, why are you?
Well, I would say, Mrs. Maisel's, some of her material is her ranting against her husband and her husband's mistress. So there's a contrast in terms of, I think the character is positive.
Yeah.
But the material is not negative per se, but just kind of on that side. More cutting.
I definitely think that's the biting. Big difference. Yeah. I think for her character, it's like, she appreciates comedy because she gets to express herself where she isn't able to express those thoughts anywhere else like the way that society is in that time. And she has to be this perfect wife and perfect woman or whatever. And then with comedy, she can get up and like, be like, this is bullshit.
Right.
So I feel like that's probably part of her character, I guess, in a sense, but it would be interesting to compare them. And I really want to watch Crashing cause it looks pretty cool. And I like Pete Holmes. So
yeah. Definitely worth watching. So, I don't even know. Are there too many other shows? I mean, Seinfeld really wasn't about stand up, even though that was what his character did. I mean, there's only a handful of episodes that revolve around him his stand-up at all.
Yeah.
Louis seems to be much more about stand-up, or at least incorporates it much more. Then you got Crashing and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I mean, I can't even think of too many other shows.
I don't know. I remember hearing about a show before, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, that was about, like, comedy back in the day. But I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, I'm Dying Up Here. Is that it?
I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah. No, I have not seen that one. I don't even know what that's... I think that's a Showtime show.
Yeah, I think that's probably why.
No, I didn't watch it. Yeah. But I definitely... anything that... that ties that aspect in is going to grab my attention. So
yeah, definitely.
I don't know if we have anything else to talk about.
Yeah, we might have covered it.
Yeah, I mean, we're at 26 minutes. I feel like, I mean, our show, this is our shortest show, but
We could end now and have this be our earliest show, where we could just like silently sit here
for another 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I choose the former.
probably a good choice.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is good for the audience as well. But really fast, anything to plug?
Not currently. Okay. No. Yeah, I just had a show last week that was a lot of fun, but I don't have anything planned at the moment.
All right. I have. This Friday, I'll be at Third Coast Comedy with Sophia Alexander, who was on Comedy Central's This Is Not Happening, and Hannah Hogan, who was on America's Got Talent, and Mary J. Berger, who's a great local comic, and Mo Vaughn, who's also another great local comic. So I'll be on a show with them this Friday, Third Coast, $5. If you mention the podcast, I will pay for your ticket. So there you go.
Yeah.
And then we both have something coming up soon on the 7th, right? The variety show with the comedy, poetry, and music.
Oh, do we?
The show that there was a mix up last time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So that's what, the 7th.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll give y'all another. We'll remind y'all before. Wait, no. The 7th is next week.
All right, well, come out. You guys should definitely come out.
Yeah, August 7th. That's a Tuesday? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because today's the 1st. Tweet at us, and we will get you in for free.
Perks.
Yeah. Nick X Bush on Twitter and on Instagram. If you slide into my DMs and you're talking comedy... that's as good as sex for me. So, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we are. I guess that's it. I think we're still the shortest episode.
Yeah. Well, records are meant to be broken.
All right. Okay. So we will end here. We release y'all. Have a safe and sexy rest of the week and a safe and sexy weekend, and hopefully see some of y'all on Friday and some of y'all next Tuesday.